If you have a Bible today, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm so grateful for what God has done in us and among us during this series on the Holy Spirit. It has been absolutely mind-blowing to see. Last Sunday was amazing. There were about 70 of you that came forward to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I praise God that He poured out His Spirit faithfully upon each of you. Many of you received from your seat. I know one friend was standing in the back behind the sound booth, and he began to speak in other tongues right back there. But I thank God that His Word is still for today. Can you say amen today? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. And I just want to share with you some testimonies. It's important that you hear what people said and feedback from the service. One person said, I feel different. I mean different. I'm so happy and full of joy. I just want to pray in tongues all day. And then they started laughing. Words can't even come close to how wonderful it is to be in the presence of the Lord and to have you folks take time to explain clearly and allow the Spirit to move. I like this one. After speaking in tongues, I feel so incredibly loved always, and because of His incredible love, I have more boldness for the day. Thank God for boldness. I wanted to let you know of my experience in church today. I tend to get a bit emotional during each service that I attend, but I was particularly moved when you started laying hands on people. His presence was most definitely felt today, even by those of us who didn't leave our seats. Here's another one. Before coming to Victory, I always believed in it because I had read it. I said, if I'm supposed to have it, I'll get it. But I didn't seek it. When I sought it, I got it. I like that one. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. I like this one. The New Testament writings make so much more sense. Well, actually, the whole gospel message, now that I've been introduced to the Holy Spirit. I was very confused about the Trinity, but now I can put my confusion behind me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we just give God praise for all the lives saved and touched and transformed by His Word? Father, in the name of Jesus, over the next few moments, we ask that You would speak mightily into our hearts. Holy Spirit, do what only You can and what You desire. Lord, use me as Your mouthpiece today and say exactly what You'd say if You were standing here. We pray that if there be anyone here today that has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that You would show them how good You are, how much they need You, and the plan of salvation, that it would be absolutely clear. Father, we thank You and we praise You. Holy Spirit, again, You are our honored guest. We thank You that we don't have to beg You to come, but You're already here. And God, we just give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about Spirit-led living. Somebody say, Spirit-led living. We need to live our life in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This morning, I'm going to read it from the New Living just because I like the way it's written in the New Living. But sometimes people want to know, I read a New King James. That's my go-to. But today, I want to read it out of the New Living. It says this, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Now, how many of you know there's a lot of things in life that want to take you by the hand and lead you off astray? The Bible says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Now, if we're going to be real honest, and I thank God for a church full of people who aren't afraid to tell the truth. If we're going to be real honest, are there still some sinful cravings in your flesh from time to time? Okay, I'm in the right place with the right people. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. Which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires, and the Spirit gives us desires, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. They are diametrically opposed. They go in completely opposite directions. They are polar opposites. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. There is that civil war on the inside of us going on. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but when you are directed by the Spirit. So he goes from saying be guided by the Spirit, but when you are directed by the Spirit now. So again, he's talking about the Holy Spirit leading you. When you are directed by the Spirit, something happens. He says, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature. So this passage is about being guided, being directed in what we're following. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. The King James calls them the works of the flesh. Here's what they are. It's a pretty fun list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Pretty big list, isn't it? At some point, most of us have found ourselves doing things listed or mentioned on that list. How many know the pleasure of sin is there for a season? Sin can be fun for a season, right? Somebody said if it wasn't fun, you didn't do it right. He says, let me tell you again as I have before. Let me tell you again as I have before that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul's telling them something. He's repeating something he's told them before. Let me tell you again, anyone living that kind of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit, he's saying, on the other hand, when you follow the flesh, it produces those. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Somebody say fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, how many of you would agree with me today that is a list of good things that we should desire in our life? I mean, nobody can really say, man, I hate love, right? I mean, I just can't stand joy. I really, you can have all the peace you want. I don't want another bit of it in my life. Now, these are things we want. They're desirable. Verse 24 says, actually, back up, it says, there is no law against these things. In other words, these things don't even have to be governed, okay? Because they're good things. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have, past tense, nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified him there. Now, notice verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. How many parts of our life? So Paul gives us two paths that believers can take. Remember, he's talking to a church. He's talking to born-again believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to sinners. He gives us two paths that you can take as a believer. They are the carnal or the spiritual, the flesh or the spirit-led life. And in this list, he gives us, I think there's 17 works of the flesh. And what amazes me about these is you cannot cast out the works of the flesh. These are not things somebody can come up to you, lay hands on you, take authority over it, bind it, and command it to leave in the name of Jesus. These are things that we allow in our life by following our flesh or our sinful desires instead of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us two paths here. But when we follow the Spirit's leading, there are nine, somebody say nine, there are nine fruit of the Holy Spirit that begin to show up in our life. And these are things that you ought to see in the life of every believer at some level. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And so when you see these, they're an indicator of the seed that's on the inside us. Apple seeds always produce what kind of trees? Apple trees. Orange seeds produce what kind of trees? So when the seed of God's righteousness has been sown in us, what kind of tree should it produce? Trees of righteousness. We have the seed of God in us. That means we should be bearing God's fruit. And I want to walk you through these and give you an introduction to them. And the very first one is love. Somebody say love. Okay, and this is, again, these are things the Holy Spirit produces in us. So it's a supernatural ability, each of these. It's the supernatural ability to make an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person based on a deliberate choice. Notice it has nothing to do with how we feel. Love is based on who you are, not on what they do. That's the God kind of love. I like that. It's the kind of love that God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's the kind of love in Romans 5:8 that says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. God's love has everything to do with who he is and nothing to do with who we are. Amen. So love then is the single greatest characteristic that distinguishes believers from everyone else. We could say it is the apex, it is the most important. Jesus said in John 13, he said, "By this they will know that you're my disciples indeed, by your love for one another." The second one there is joy. The Holy Spirit produces joy on the inside of us. Somebody say joy. Now I like joy. Now this is not happiness, okay? This is very different from happiness. Happiness has to do with what's happening in my life. Happiness leaves as quick as it comes. However, joy is the supernatural inner strength to finish your divine assignment with courage. I like that. Joy sustains us in hard times. Hebrews chapter 12 declares that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. He went through the cross for us, and he did it with joy in his heart, even though it was agonizingly painful. Joy gives us the ability to finish our race with a smile on our face. Can you say amen to that today? Okay. The third one is peace. The Holy Spirit produces peace inside us. And peace, this is necessary. It is the inner stability that gives you the ability to stay confident, collected, and calm instead of freaking out. Is that plain enough terms for you? Because sometimes we just flat freak out. Right? I mean, things go wrong. Washing machine busts. You have a flat tire. Dog gets sick. And we freak. But this is the inner stability that gives you the ability to stay confident, collected, and calm instead of just absolutely having a meltdown in the middle of the floor. It's a stillness in your soul that allows you to be unaffected by what is happening around you. The fourth one today, fruit of the Spirit, is patience. Somebody say patience. Ah, the one we all love to hate. Or long-suffering. The Greek word there literally means to burn long. And it's the patient restraint of anger, not irritated or easily angered, but willing to wait as long as it takes, willing to wait as long as it takes for other people who are testing your patience to come around and make necessary changes in your life or restore the ability to communicate with them once again. It is the opposite of being short-fused, quick-tempered, flying off the handle, blowing up, doing and saying things that you're going to regret later on. I did that last week. So although we may not be there yet, thank God we're in the process of God doing these things in our life. You ought to say amen right there. Number five, kindness. Somebody say kindness. Now these two work together. Patience and kindness go together. We can't just be patient without being kind. God wants both. Kindness is a sweetness of disposition, a gentleness in dealing with others who are testing your patience. It's to be friendly to others, adaptable to the needs of those around you. That's important. When we marry kindness and patience together, it helps us to be proactive while we're waiting for other people to change. And that is actually what makes a difference in our situation. The sixth one, the fruit of the Spirit, sixth fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Somebody say goodness. For goodness sake. The supernatural urge inside of you to reach beyond yourself to meet the needs of those around you. It means to be generous, big-hearted, unafraid to help. The epitome of goodness is Chris Boggs. He was under the sound booth and he's rising up slowly like, what? Chris is one of those guys who is always on the spot to help you. He is willing to do anything for anybody at any time, no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs him. He's always thrilled to help. Would y'all let Chris know how much you love him today? The seventh one is faithfulness. Somebody say faithfulness. And it's the supernatural ability to be loyal. This is important. We need help to be loyal, to be stable, to be steadfast, to be consistent, reliable, devoted, trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant, and unwavering. Jesus said, we want to hear on the day we meet him, well done, my good and faithful servant. The eighth one is gentleness or meekness, and this is very important. We see it in the life of Moses. We see it in the life of Jesus Christ. It is especially important as a leadership quality. It is the supernatural ability to allow your will to be brought under the control of another through submission and obedience. It is not a picture of a weak person. This is a very powerful person that is strong-willed, living under perfect control. This is a person willing to master themselves so they can become a servant of others. This is what it's talking about in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, where the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't think anything about becoming a servant and coming. And as a result of his service and his laying down his life, God has given him the name above every name. The ninth and last one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, this is one we love to hate and don't know a whole lot about. It's self-control. It's the supernatural ability to bring your passions, appetites, and desires under control. It's the ability to restrain or control yourself. I like this. It's the ability to remain disciplined, to pay the price, and to stay focused and never forget who you are and why you're here. We see it in the life of Joseph when he's tempted by Potiphar's wife, and she throws himself at Joseph and she says, "Hey, why don't you come on into the bedroom? I got a few things I want to show you." And what does Joseph say? He says, "No way, I cannot sin against my master and I cannot sin against my God." And she grabs him by the coat and he sheds his clothes and he runs out the door. He gets away from it as fast as he can. Why? Because he was a man that had a dream in his heart and he never forgot that he was a person here with a purpose, that he had a destiny, and he refused to sell out and settle short. We need self-control in our life if we're going to finish the race that God has called us to run. Now, these are fruit of the Spirit. And fruit can be grown, it can be cultivated, and it is developed over time. Which works on that patience one because we want things now. It doesn't work that way. If you're not naturally inclined to these, the good news is you can become them because as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He produces these in our lives. And so life in the Spirit is a life that benefits, Brian, or blesses other people around us. Because I don't know about y'all, but I've never once in my life seen a tree eating its own fruit. That just don't happen. So the fruit that is produced in us is therefore the benefit of those around us. Now can you see why it's important to let the Holy Spirit do this in you so that when people look at you, they see Him? Very, very, very powerful to understand. Now, when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, something else will happen. Those fruit bless and benefit those around us. They come from within us. But there's another group of nine that I want to introduce you to today. Some of you are very familiar with. Others of you have never heard of them. And they're the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you would go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. So we have nine fruit of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, Christmas is coming around the corner. Anybody like gifts? How many of you kids like gifts? I see hands going up. I see some big kids with their hands going up. I'm going to read it from the Message. It says, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. Where do they come from? God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere. I like that. But they all originate in God's Spirit. Verse 6, God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Verse 7, each person, how many? Somebody say, that's me. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. Thank God for variety. The variety is wonderful. I want to read it to you from the New King James, verse 7 through 10. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So each one of us can have this, and it's for the benefit of everyone. It's important to keep that in mind. Verse 8, for to one, here he goes with the list. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we study them, for the sake of ease, it's good to break them down into three separate categories. And those three separate categories are revelation, power, and inspiration. In the revelation gifts, God reveals something. In the power gifts, God does something. In the inspirational gifts of the Holy Spirit, God says something. So we're going to begin with the inspirational gifts where God says something. The first one is the gift of prophecy. Somebody say prophecy. Now, the definition of prophecy is spontaneous, Spirit-inspired message that flows without human preparation. That's its most simple definition. Then there's different kinds of tongues, which we've talked about last week and on Wednesday night. And that is the ability to speak by the Holy Spirit in an unknown language, whether heavenly or earthly, that you have never learned. And then the third is the interpretation of tongues. And this is a companion gift that goes with different kinds of tongues. And it means the ability to declare by the Holy Spirit what that message in tongues meant to a group of people who are near. So that's the inspirational gifts of the Holy Spirit where God says something. Then we have the revelation gifts. God's revealing something. And they are the gift of the word of knowledge. Somebody say word of knowledge. Now, it is a word of knowledge. It is a piece of knowledge. It is a supernatural revelation of a fact that could not be known any other way. We see it in the life of Jesus Christ when he's sitting there with the woman at the well and he identifies how many times she's been married. The companion gift that goes with that is the gift of the word of wisdom. Somebody say word of wisdom. Notice it is a word of wisdom. It is in part, and it provides a remedy for a situation or problem as only God can know how to deal with that situation. It is a solution gift. It's used in connection with the word of knowledge. One identifies a problem, the other one reveals the solution. Then there's the gift of the discerning of spirits. It is not the gift of discernment, okay? It is the discerning of spirits. Somebody say discerning of spirits. And what that is it is the supernatural ability the Holy Spirit gives us to see or to hear into the spirit realm. How many of you know the spirit realm is just as real as the natural realm you see around you? Just wave at me today. Amen? And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see or hear into the spirit realm so we can determine what spirit is at work behind a person's attitude, words, or actions. It's not always the Holy Spirit motivating people. Sometimes we need to identify what spirit is motivating that person so that we can begin to deal with it with the authority Jesus has given us. Okay, so we've dealt with the gifts of inspiration, we've dealt with the gifts of revelation, and now let's talk about the power gifts, the last set of three in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I like these because God does something. They are the gift of faith. Somebody say the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a sudden supernatural surge of faith or super confidence that destroys doubt and attracts the miracle-working power of God to meet an urgent need right then. The gifts of healings also is in this category. Notice it's plural. Healings, not healing. And it is the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural means. It is a plural gift, and it can be ailment-specific. For example, Christopher Alam, who you guys know, his books in the bookstore, he's been here a few times. He operates in the gifts of healing specifically and frequently when it comes to the healing of deafness in ears. And so an individual might have an area of emphasis where they see that operate and they see healings of a specific ailment on a regular basis. That's why it's called the gift of healings. Okay, there's multiple there. And then there's the working of miracles. Somebody say miracles. Now, miracles are still for today. We believe that at Victory, don't we? We believe that at Victory, don't we? We still believe that there are miracles for today. If you don't yet, you will when you need one. Don't we believe that today? Oh, praise God. Supernatural intervention of God over the ordinary course of nature. For example, a limb that's not there growing out. Things like this. The working of miracles. Now, let me give you some simple truths concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These nine are available to every believer who's been filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses for me. The gifts are selfless, not selfish. In other words, they're not about us. They're about Him touching them. 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. I like that. So we can help each other. All nine of these gifts are incredible displays of God's supernatural ability through a human vessel. A believer may have one or more than one gift of the Holy Spirit operating in their life. A believer may operate in a particular gift on a regular basis. However, that doesn't mean it happens every single day. But we should be ready and make ourselves available for Him to use us at a moment's notice. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are activated and they operate in our life as the Holy Spirit decides, not as we decide. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. All these gifts have a common origin but are handed out by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. He decides who gets what and when. The Holy Spirit is the possessor. So here's what we need to know. As long as the Holy Spirit has possession of this vessel, He will show up in our lives to reveal Jesus to someone around us by meeting their needs. Look at your neighbor and tell him, meet a need. Meet a need. The gifts are self-manifesting. In other words, you don't have to work them up. They can't be forced. They show up on their own. Very important. The gifts cannot be earned. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So they're gifts. They are things given. They're not something that can be earned. They are not indicators of spiritual maturity or an endorsement of character. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23 makes that clear. When Jesus said, they will come to me in that day and say, Lord, we worked this miracle and that miracle, and we prophesied in your name. And he'll say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. The fact that someone operates in a gift does not mean they're more spiritual. We must add to these gifts character and wisdom. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, I like this, do not belong to any one of us. They belong to all of us. And we all belong to each other. So here's the good news, y'all. There's no need to be territorial. There's no need to be jealous. God's gifts do not compete. God's gifts complete. They interlock like one giant puzzle. But one of the most important things we can know today is that love must be kept at the center of every pursuit of God in our life. Any passion, any desire, anything we do, love must be our primary pursuit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says this. It says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. So we can have both. Even though love should be our highest aim and our highest goal, we should also have a desire for the special abilities or gifts the Holy Spirit gives to us. Amen? Amen? And so Paul says it doesn't matter how gifted we are. What matters most is to keep love at the center. We can become so wrapped up in our gift, we forget we're only one piece of God's much larger body. And if we're not careful, that attitude can destroy anything or anyone we perceive to be standing in the way. We say things like, well, my gift isn't being used, or I'm being overlooked, or I'm being ignored. And the reality is, if you feel that way, because anybody with a passion for God and a zeal for going after Him, there's probably been a time in your life you felt that way. And I know for me personally, Proverbs 18 has always helped me there whenever I begin to get antsy. And the Bible says this, chapter 18, verse 16, it says, a man's gift makes room for him. It doesn't say the man makes room for his gift. It says our gift makes room for us. So be faithful with what you have where you are, with what God has given you to do, and doors will begin to open. Love has to be the primary motivation for everything we do in the name of God. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. They go together. Love comes first. Love is our primary pursuit. Our desire to see the power of God manifested must come from a desire for God, and to love people around us. And so we've got to understand that gifts are given to us so that we can bless others, glorify God, serve each other, and reach our world. And love is what bridges the gap that makes the differences between us. There are people you're sitting beside today that you might never connect with anywhere else outside of here. People of all different walks of life, all different personalities, with different likes and dislikes, different gifts, different wants, different needs, that share one thing in common. We're here today because we love God and because He's touched our lives. Some of us are growing faster. Some of us are growing slower. Some of us care a lot. Some of us don't care as much. Some are more outgoing, and some of us are more reserved. Some of us are happy about today, and others of us are still sad about yesterday. You put all these people in one room twice a week, and we call that victory. So love has the power to bridge the gap between different people with different feelings coming together from different places. Our differences can create friction. Love is the lubricant we've got to keep there. Love is the glue that holds diverse people together to accomplish the purpose of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that one more time. Love is the glue that holds diverse people together to accomplish the purpose of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Love is the glue that holds different people together to accomplish the purpose of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is here with us to help us and to do life with us and to equip each of us to accomplish our individual divine assignment in life. And God's work is not just doc for guys that stand on a platform and preach. God's work is for every single born-again believer. The ministry does not belong to a small elite few. The ministry belongs to every single person. We all have the privilege of sharing the love of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, in everything we do, in everything we say. We release like a perfume the fragrance of Christ, and it fills a room, and people are attracted to it, and they begin to see something in you that they want in their life. They may not even know why, but they come up to you and they'll begin weeping. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a carrier of the very presence of God. And when the world knows and sees that in us, church, we have a difference to reach in like Jesus did as he walked the dusty paths of this earth. And we have an opportunity to make a difference right then by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. When the fruit of the Spirit and the power of the gifts come together, come on, there's a big giant explosion of peanut butter and jelly, and things are really sweet in people's lives. Can you give God praise? Stand with me this morning, won't you? Here's what I'm believing God for. Even as I was studying this week for this, I was convicted by that list of the fruit of the Spirit, and I thought, man, yep, I gotta focus on this. I need some work in this area of my life. And I believe God spoke that in some of your lives. Now I want you just to open up and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and touch you in those areas. When it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit, some of you, you're fascinated by what I said today. Your interest is piqued. Maybe one of those nine gifts of the Spirit that I mentioned was leaping on the inside of you. Just like when Mary and Elizabeth saw each other and they were both pregnant, the Bible says that the baby leapt inside her. Maybe your baby's leaping this morning. You're saying, man, I believe God wants to use me like that. I believe God wants to use me in that area. I love people. I just want to make a difference in somebody's life. I know God's made a difference in mine. I'm going to pray over all of us as a church. And I'm believing, God, that we are going to see a release of His power and His presence in an exponentially greater way than we ever have, not only inside of these four walls, but as you walk out of here, that people are going to see you today and know there's something different about you. What is it? Nobody wants you to know what's in store for your life more than the Holy Spirit. He's here to show you the incredible things God has imagined for your life. Would you lay one hand over your belly and raise one hand as a sign of surrender as we pray? Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would move in even greater ways among us. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that we would see greater works than even Jesus did that you promised. Father, we want to see a release of your presence and glory everywhere we go. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you help each and every one of us to be mature enough to understand that doing these things has nothing to do with us and everything to do with lifting you high and reaching other people. Father, we want to decrease that you would increase. Father, we humble ourselves that you be exalted. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to make a commitment to the secret place of prayer so we can see your power released publicly. Father, we have no problem being last today so that someone else can be first. We have no problem living in the background as long as Jesus can stay in the spotlight. Father, we're willing to master ourselves so that we can be the servant of others. We thank you for the privilege of serving, and we acknowledge that serving is not a stepping stone today, but it is the pinnacle of achievement. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that just like a highlighter on a page, I ask that you begin to highlight the gifts of the Spirit that you desire for each and every one of us to walk in. God, you have given one to each and every one of us. Show them to us, God. Reveal them. Help us to develop that gift. Help us to walk in that gift. Help us to gain greater understanding of that gift. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the world know who you are through this church, through your people. Father, I pray for the expansion of influence today. I pray that the news of your word and of your fame would shoot out of this place, shoot out of our lives. Father, not even without even saying a word, that people just being in our presence would have a powerful encounter with you. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you today in the name of Jesus. Forgive us where we have not allowed the fruit to be cultivated and developed. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would grow it in us. God, grow us up. God, bring us to greater maturity in the body of Christ. Let us grow up into Jesus. Jesus, you are the standard. Jesus, you are the benchmark. Jesus, you are the plumb line. You are our measurement. God, make us grow up into you. Holy Spirit, right now, transform us from glory to glory into the image of the Son of God. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory, God, for revealing and highlighting the gifts. We thank you, Father, today for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you today that the world would be blessed and benefited because you are living in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And God, we give you praise. Come on, give him glory in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah to the Lamb.